Since the scripture today is a touch long, I will say that instead of standing this day, if you will put your hand over your heart, or you might want to put your palm branch over your heart. As we listen to the word of God, as recorded in the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 11, the word of the most holy God says this: In the first covenant, every day, every officiating priest stands at his post serving, offering over and over those same sacrifices that can never take away sin. But he stepped up to offer his single sacrifice, sin for all time. He, that is Jesus, sat down in the position of honor at the right hand of God. Since then, he has been waiting for the day when he rests his feet on his enemy's back. As the psalm says, with one perfect offering, Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, as the Holy Spirit keeps testifying to us through the prophet Jeremiah, after he says, But when those days are over, says the Eternal One, I will make this kind of covenant with the people of Israel. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them upon their minds. Then he adds, I will erase their sins and wicked acts out of my memory as though they had never existed. When there is forgiveness such as this, there is no longer any need to make an offering for sin. So, my friends, Jesus by his blood gives us courage to enter the most holy place. He has created for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. Since we have a great high priest who presides over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts full of faith, with hearts rinsed clean of any evil conscience, and with bodies cleansed with pure power. Let us hold strong to the confession of our hope, never wavering, since the one who promised it to us is faithful. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I miss Vesta, don't you? One of the last conversations I had with her before she went to be with Jesus, we were talking about the longevity that she had. She passed over just before she was 95. She was really, really close to 95. And we talked about the changes that she had seen in her lifetime. In her 95 years, she had been alive during two world wars. She had gone from a time when if you wanted to communicate with somebody in London, you sent a letter that took weeks, to a time when you could talk to them in seconds, because Vesta, God love her, had a computer. And she knew how to use it. And, she sent emails all over the world, and she wrote books and sent them out that way. She went from a time where people still had horse-drawn things to travel to when we had supersonic jets that can get you what used to take weeks, hours. And I said, what was it like for you as you have grown and lived through this time? And she was talking about, the great change that she had seen. But she said, the thing that, made it not so difficult for me was that I rolled with it. That's my interpretation. But that's what she said. She said, I went with it. This is how I roll. Vesta's version of this is how I roll. She handled the change even though the change was great. Now, we begin talking about Vesta and change because, folks, this is the week that we are celebrating and reliving the greatest change that has ever happened in the history of humankind. We're changing from what the scripture says, when those days are over, and folks, those days are over. The days are over when the law has us bound. The thing about the law was God gave the law for a very good reason. He gave the law so people would know, you know, what was right and what was wrong. He gave the law so that we'd know how to live with each other in harmony and peace. He gave the law so we would understand his will for us, which, by the way, is all good. But the law had a problem. If you deliberately broke it, there was no remedy. None. The law provided for you to be cleansed of unintentional sin. But if you did something on purpose, there was nothing you could do about it. It was just there. When Jesus came, when the law days were over and Jesus came, folks, we now have grace. Look up grace sometime in the dictionary. One of my favorite synonyms for grace is pardon. Pardon. You know, I don't want justice. I want grace. Because, you know, I really don't want to have to deal with all the things that I've done in my life. I don't want to have to eye for an eye it. I don't want to have to go through. I want grace. I want grace. And that's what Jesus came to offer. A remedy for those things that we have done, that we deliberately did, but can be pardoned for. That's amazing. So we went from law to grace. But that was not the only thing that was over. See, in the old way, what they would do is the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies. He would first make sacrifice for his own sin and then sacrifice for the people's sin. And he would go into this Holy of Holies and God would then set aside that year's worth of sin. It was not eradicated. It was just set aside. Kind of like shoving it all in the closet and keeping the door shut. But if Jesus had not come, eventually that closet door was going to bust open. Eventually, we were going to have to pay for all of that. Somebody was going to have to pay. But Jesus came, paid that price, and our sins were erased, no longer remembered, like they never happened. Wow. You know, one of the things that I find interesting when I talk to people is they say, you know, I can forgive, but I can't forget. I understand that horrible things have happened to people. I get that. I've seen horrible things. I have seen people live through things that I don't know that I could have endured. Betrayals that should never have been. But folks, if you remember it, you haven't forgiven it. You have to set it aside. Doesn't mean it's never going to cross your mind, but if I'm not going to forget it, if I'm going to forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it, I'm not really going to forgive you. God says, I don't even remember it. Aren't you glad those days are over? Those days are over because from the beginning of the fall, when humankind deliberately sinned, we became separated from God and there was nothing we could do about it. Nothing we could do about it. It's like there was a bridge and God, remember when it talks about whether you believe it literally true or allegorically true does not matter in this instance. If you understand the beginning of Genesis, it says that human beings and God were one. that they were able to be in the same place at the same time, and humanity was not destroyed by his holiness. We were able to commune directly with God. And after we sinned, God is so perfect that our sinfulness would destroy us being in that perfection. You know, it wasn't that God said, well, you know, you sin and I want nothing to do with you. He separated himself from us so we could survive. Because we couldn't be in the presence of his holiness. But then, when Jesus came, when those days of separation were over, when Jesus came and died on a cross, it is when he died that the perfect sacrifice was made, and the veil that kept people out of that holy of holies was torn from the top down. Not a human being tearing it, but God tearing it, so that humanity once again has direct access to God. Today, we are beginning a week of celebrating the greatest change that has ever happened in humanity. Because we went, in this week that we celebrate, from an old covenant to a new covenant, from law to grace, from separation to communion. We went to having our sins completely wiped away forever. Now that is something to celebrate. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, they took down the branches of the trees and their cloaks, and they laid them on the road because there was a victorious king coming. Now, he wasn't the victorious king they thought he was going to be, because they thought when he came in that everything was going to be good and he was going to throw the Romans out and they were going to get to be on top and it's all going, you know, they were thinking about a kingdom here. But when he rode into Jerusalem, I'm telling you, the biggest victory over anything was fixing to happen, because Jesus had victory over death, hell, and the grave. You know, Satan, when Jesus came in and the people were all happy and throwing down their stuff in front of him, and the devil thought, that's all right. I got a plan. And he thought when Jesus died that he won. Didn't the disciples think it was all over? You know, Jesus is dead. They don't know what's going on. They thought they were getting ready to start a kingdom. They thought that, you know, this is the Son of God. How could he die? You know, they're all in turmoil and upset and trying to figure it out. And you know what amazes me is Jesus told them over and over and over, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to raise from the dead on the third day. And third day, they're still sitting there going, Jesus died and we don't know what we're going to do. Go figure. But over the course of the next 8 days, folks, the world changed. We went from death to life. We went from law to grace. We went to being forgiven. And we have direct access to God Almighty. Now let me just ask the question. Do you take that for granted? Do you? I think we do. I think we just take it for granted. You know, I'm forgiven. Isn't that great? Oh, well. We have something that people for centuries did not have. Centuries and centuries and centuries. There was no way that we could just directly talk to God and have him talk directly back to us. And do we pray? We can now. Do we? It's amazing to me. We're supposed to spend our time, our 40 days of Lent, examining ourselves, looking at ourselves, trying to figure out, you know, what is the best me that God is calling me to be? Because, you know, God created us to be the best. To be the best that we, you know, to be the best Annette can be, and to be the best Tracy can be. What I'm thinking, though, Tracy, is you might already be there. It's kind of frightening, too, but... No, actually, it's not, because, you know, can anybody light up a room by walking into it like Tracy can? Yeah. Yeah, I said one of the things that I would hope was that every morning when I wake up, the devil would go, oh, no, she's awake. I think he says that about Tracy, but I think God says it too. I think you probably have a troop of guardian angels. But you know, God wants us to be the best we can be. He never wanted us to settle for anything. All of this is for our benefit. Are we taking advantage of it? You know, this week, I want you to take this home. I want you to take this palm leaf home, and I want you to put it someplace where you're going to see it every day this week. Look at it and remember that victory is coming. The King is coming. The Lord of the universe is coming. And one day the eastern sky is going to split open and he's going to take us all out of here. Oh, come, Jesus, come. But until then, we have the strength to live here. And we have victory here. And we have the Almighty God with us here. This is a week of unbelievable change. Celebrate it every day. And then on Sunday, next Sunday, Easter Sunday, I want you to remember that victory is ours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.